It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Netflix and Bill. I am your host, Bill Squire, and this week's episode is brought to you by Personal Hygiene. And luckily, I get to see it firsthand because Marty likes to tear his fingernails off in my car and just in the studio as well.
I was trying to pull my fingernail off. I couldn't.
Why? You couldn't pull it off right now?
No.
But can you just, do you not have fingernail clippers?
I don't know where they're at.
Do you want me to get, they're 99 cents.
No, I saw them. They were in my bathroom the other day. I think they're still there.
All right. Well, you need to do that rather than tearing your fingernails off in my car. Okay. I'm not a big fan of that.
Okay.
Also, on the way here today...
I might have to fart. Can we start the show over?
Just... God damn it. Just go fart in the hallway and then come back in.
No, I'll hold it.
All right. If you fart during in this little room, I'm going to kill you, though.
Okay.
Did you already fart?
No. Remember that time I was in your car and I've had to fart all the time?
Oh, dude, your farts are the worst thing I've ever smelled.
I had to fart because I had to get it out of my system so I wouldn't fart in front of the driving instructor. But I wish I would have farted in front of that driving instructor because she was a dyke and she...
Got to stop calling people dykes.
And she flunked me because she hated men.
All right. Can you also swallow your spit because you're a little gurgly? Yeah, clear it out. Okay, great. Personal hygiene. Now, you don't mind if you fart, though, because you don't have a sense of smell.
Right.
How did you lose your sense of smell?
I got hit by a car.
And you lost it then?
Where I heroically tried to stop a car that hit a car in our back lot. Probably a drunk driver.
So the car hit... Is this also how you sustained your head injury that gave you schizophrenia?
So well, it might have got me schizophrenia. No one knows.
What?
No one knows if that caused my schizophrenia.
Well, you think it had something to do with it.
It might have, right. Yes.
Just the trauma itself. So that was a double whammy for you then.
Yes.
It's a big day.
Big day.
How many times have you been hit by a car?
Several. No, once as a pedestrian, but many as a driver.
But did you get hit by a car last
year? Twice as a pedestrian.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got hit by a car last year.
I got hit by a car and a bike on August 21st.
Yeah. And I feel like you got hit by on your bike more than once.
Oh, yeah, I got hit, but I wasn't able to collect on that because it was my fault.
Uh-huh.
Because I was riding on the sidewalk, and you're not allowed to ride on the sidewalk.
Mm. That's a bummer. So I picked you up today. You were gross in my car. You ate nine pieces of bazooka gum.
And I swallowed it.
And you swallowed it.
Which you don't like.
And you ate that all in a matter of minutes. Like, just flew through all this gum. One piece after another.
I'm looking for the message of the guy that's stuck in the bubblegum factory.
It's funny. Explain a little further what that means.
There's a message from a guy in the cartoons that says, "Help! I'm stuck in a bubble. I'm held captured in a bubblegum factory." And when I was in the mental hospital, or when I was had psychiatric illnesses, I thought there really was a guy sending me messages saying he was stuck in a bubblegum factory, and I talked to my psychiatrist about it.
And it was up to you to get him out?
It was up to me to get him out.
Do you think you got him out?
I never... They stopped me from my efforts to get him out. I was planning on driving to Bazooka Joe headquarters.
And you didn't?
I didn't.
Well, that's probably for the best.
Because I didn't have a car.
All right, well, there's that. And then also you had a little bit of a wardrobe malfunction this morning?
Yes, I had a hole in my pants. So then I picked up my smelly pants instead.
Yeah. They're not fresh. They're definitely... It's not like they smell bad. They just smell musty.
Yeah.
They just need to maybe just throw them in the dryer or something.
Yes.
You have a show tonight.
Yes.
It'll be over.
Dina's Pizza.
Yeah, but it'll already be over when this comes out because this doesn't come out until next week.
Yes.
All right. So what else is going... You watched... Let's talk about some movies right now.
I watched Thor Ragnarok.
What did you think of Thor Ragnarok?
It was okay.
Just okay?
Yes.
You didn't like it?
I liked it.
You didn't love it?
I didn't love it.
No? I love Thor Ragnarok. It's so funny. Did you laugh?
I didn't laugh.
You didn't laugh at all? You didn't think Korg was funny?
Who's Korg?
The rock guy?
The rock guy was funny.
Yeah, so that's funny. And then Thor's funny in it, and then what was your favorite part?
When Thor lost his eye.
Oh, you like that part?
Yeah.
You didn't see that coming, did you?
No.
Oh, that was pretty badass. What about the fight between Thor and the Hulk?
That was good.
Yeah. Anything else?
When Thor's father died.
That was sad.
Yeah.
And then his sister came.
His sister was evil.
Yeah, she's very evil.
I have an evil sister.
You do?
I have an evil sister.
Now we're talking. All right, tell me about your evil sister.
My evil sister came to reclaim her homeland, and she now owns the house I grew up in. And she grows more powerful every day when she's there.
So it's almost like Ragnarok.
Yes. And she doesn't like me. And she was very angry that I left the group home. She one time when she thought I was going to leave the group home, she said, don't ever come over here. I'll get a restraining order against you and stuff like that.
Did something happen between the two of you that caused this rift?
No, nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
All right. Sounds like she sucks.
She's evil.
Oh, that's a bummer.
My sister Eileen likes me. No one likes that I moved out of the group home. Everyone hated it.
I like that you moved out of the group home.
And people were saying, like, well, you don't have a job. Why don't you wait till you have a job till you move out of the group home? People were saying that to me. And
but you can you like being out of the group home a lot more. You're a lot happier now, right?
Yeah.
And now you have Netflix, and you're out of the group home, and you're in school, and I heard you got a good grade.
I got an A on the paper.
That's awesome.
It was a terrible paper. I don't know why this guy gave me an A.
Why do you think he gave you an A?
Because I quoted the Declaration of Independence, and he just put the Declaration of Independence in his teachings toward us.
Okay,
so I was ahead of the curve.
So you're just pandering then?
No, I didn't know he would put the Declaration of Independence on
so,
the...
So you do you feel like you can read people pretty well then?
Well, yeah.
There was a lady that was trying to flirt with you, and you weren't even paying attention.
Where?
Downstairs, when we went to get food.
She was flirting with me?
You were all covered in rain, because it's raining today, and she goes, oh, did you get caught in the rain? And she was, like, making conversation, and you completely ignored her. And she was pretty.
Oh! Ah! Does not compute! Does not compute!
You had your chance. I was talking to her. You're so focused on getting some food that you couldn't be bothered.
Well, I was hungry.
I understand that you were hungry. Now, do you feel? But you got to be aware of your surroundings still.
Yes.
Everybody really liked your story, though.
What story?
The story you told last week.
What was that?
About going to the prostitute.
Oh, that's a terrible story. That's the downfall of Martin Malloy.
That's the downfall. People appreciate it, though. They like your honesty and your candidness.
Well, I bought her a bottle of champagne, and all my friends made fun of me because I bought her a bottle of champagne.
You bought her a bottle of champagne and gave her $400?
Yeah.
And all you got to do was squeeze her boobs.
I think I bought her a rose, too. And all my friends made fun of me because of it. But they weren't even celebrating bachelor's party like it was supposed to be. They didn't even get a prostitute or a stripper or nothing. I was a very... I did not like...
You like to do it the authentic way.
Yes.
All right. So, what are you going to watch next on Netflix?
I started watching Black Mirror, but I didn't like it, so I stopped watching it.
What episode did you watch?
That's not a movie?
Well, there's a movie one. Did you watch the Bandersnatch one, where it makes you make decisions?
No.
That one's cool. You should watch that one. The Black Mirror is a series.
Black Mirror is a series?
Yeah. It's almost like The Twilight Zone, where it's like one episode is like one one story.
Oh, okay.
What was the one you were watching? Was
the
it about?
The video game one.
Okay, see, that's the Bandersnatch one. That's the one where you have to like make decisions to decide if you're going to work with the guy or not, and it like takes you in like weird directions.
Okay. Is it good?
I loved it. I thought it was really cool. And it's interactive. You didn't make any decisions?
I was afraid I was going to get sucked into the TV.
Well, try it again and then actually make the decisions. It's fun.
Okay. They didn't get me to... I didn't get to the point where you get made decisions.
Well, then you must have given up really quickly because it's pretty fast.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? You watch anything else?
No, but I want to see if they got Motorama.
I don't think they do.
Okay. Now, do they have the Tom Cruise mummy?
No, they don't.
They don't? You know that?
I know that they don't have that. Okay. Not yet, right now, but I'll check and see what's coming, and might be able to find it for you. All right, is that it? Is that the intro you want to stick with? Or anything else? Oh, we got to do a catchphrase.
Watch out on the roads, because Martin Malloy, the miracle driver, is coming at you. Right at you.
That's the one. So can you do it again with like a little less gurgle?
I have gurgle.
You have so much gurgle. You almost lost your mind when I took your Pepsi.
Yes. This is Martin Malloy signing off. Watch out on the road, because Martin Malloy, the miracle driver, is coming at you. Right at you.
That was much better. All right, get ready for this episode of Flicks and Bill. My guest is Lightning Lane. She was a dominatrix. She was very interesting. Do you know what a dominatrix is?
Yes, they charge you more than $400.
Yep.
And they do weird things to you.
Right. And she does a lot of the stuff that she does online, so she doesn't have to interact with people, but want to know some of the weird stuff that she did?
Yes.
Well, you'll have to listen to the episode.
Okay.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
What's the weirdest fetish that you have?
I don't have fetishes.
You just want to touch a girl.
I just want to get past second base.
Mm-hmm. What's third base for you?
When you finger a girl.
I might have to start doing video on this because his looks and like his hand motion there. Let me see how you finger a girl again. Why are you using a claw?
Because they got big ones, the one I go out with.
Big one what?
Big vaginas.
Do you prefer a girl with a big vagina?
No.
But you're ready for them.
I'm ready.
With your claw action.
I have experience with them.
Oh, yeah? How many girls have you slept with?
Probably about 12.
That's pretty good. It's not a bad number.
Yeah.
And how many of them had big vaginas?
Probably about 5.
So you're still like, I mean, what qualified as a big vagina?
It was big.
Like, it was roomy?
Roomy.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't want any more of your details. All right, check out this episode right now. I'm talking with Lightning Lane about the movie Always Be My Maybe. It's a real cute romantic comedy, and we also talk a lot about relationships and her time as a dominatrix, including some really gross stuff, but funny.
Okay.
There's a guy that he ate poop.
He what?
He would poop in his diaper, and then he would lick it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
He just left. All right, check out this episode right now.
Netflix and Bill.
All right, welcome to this episode of Netflix and Bill. My guest today is... Lightning Lane.
Hello.
Yeah, you're like, you can scoot a little closer.
All right.
Yeah.
All
right, anyway, you know, you get the full effect. And you are, you've been a listener for, I mean, since before I was on the show. Like,
yeah,
you're a fan of MMS. Yeah. And then you are also, the reason I wanted to have you on the podcast is because you are a mistress or a... Dominatrix? What are...
Like, yeah, at one point I was. So,
yeah.
So I
always thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because everybody thinks that's just how I live my life. And it's mm-hmm. like, no, I'm actually kind of a normal person.
Right.
Super normal.
Yeah.
9 to 5, just like everybody else.
Right.
But yeah, I did that for a while. I started modeling when I was like 18, so like fresh out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And my first shoot was like nude.
Yeah,
right off the bat, I just jumped right into it.
Where was it for?
It was just some portfolio building, just something to kind of like put together to put out there.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't for anything in particular, but it just kind of went from there. And like, I always knew I wanted to model, and I always knew that I was kind of like a sexual person.
Yeah.
So it just kind of came out that way. And at first, I wasn't sure of what like my parents would think,
because mm-hmm.
that's a huge deal. Like, once you start doing that, like, it's out there.
Yeah, it's out there.
It's the internet. It's out there.
And as far as, you know, my stuff goes, like, I'm very candid with my life. So right. I'll share a lot of details of my life, and it's out there.
Yeah.
So, like, when I tell a story, you just have to be aware that someone's going to find out that you care about, and it's just going to be like, okay,
yeah,
you got to deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. You
and
have
it's
to
not exactly
it.
Nudity, but, like, that's I can only imagine that's even more difficult for people to come to terms with.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
did they handle it?
Well, when my mom first found out I was doing, like, nude stuff was, I mean, it was probably when I was about 21, so about 10 years ago. She sent me a message on Facebook, and she was like, "Your cooter's on Facebook." And I'm like, "Yes." "Yes, Mom, it is." And she's like, she was concerned at first. She thought, like, I might have been, may have been heading down a bad path,
right.
or I was in a bad relationship, or somebody was making me do it. And I'm mm-hmm. like, no, like, this is all
me.
Consensual.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to do this. I've mm-hmm. actually been doing this for quite some time. So it was, she accepted it with grace, which is great.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, that's more than what anybody could really mm-hmm. expect.
Right. I mean, it's one of those things where you really don't know how you're going to react to it until it actually happens.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to think that if that was something that I had to deal with my kids, I'd have a good reaction to it, but I can't promise you that I would.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It's like, you know, no, you're absolutely right. You can mm-hmm. you can hope that it's going to go one way, but you can't really
right.
can't really expect it.
So you get into the modeling, and then how did the mistress, the dominatrix thing, like, how did that
so
develop?
So I wanted to start getting paid.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's basically what happened. I started...
How much of that is the modeling, and how much of it is just learning how to market yourself?
It's a little bit of both. It's yeah. actually a lot harder than what some people think.
I have some friends that have tried it out, and they gave up just because of that hustle side of it,
it's
where it's like you can't
hustle.
Just be hot. You have to
work.
Work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you do. It's a 24/7 thing, mm-hmm. really, because, you know, you could have clients from all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have a regular who's from the Netherlands.
And it's still
yeah, yeah.
regular.
Yeah.
What kind
it
of stuff?
It kind of died out
yeah,
for me. It
yeah.
kind of died out because I ended up, I don't want to say it affected my lifestyle, but I ended up having a job change,
mm-hmm.
so it affected how much time I could dedicate to that.
Right.
And so I had to pull back a little bit, and mm-hmm. from that I ended up losing clients and whatever, which happens.
What are some of the things that, like, the regular things that people would request from you?
And mostly, like, how foot stuff.
Yeah, a lot of foot stuff, huh?
lots of foot stuff, lots of shoes. Actually,
yeah.
these shoes came from something like that. There's a guy who just, he likes Chuck Taylors.
Yeah.
That's just what his thing is. He just likes shoes.
I wonder, because everybody develops in a different way when mm-hmm. it comes to their sexuality. So I wonder what it is that causes that thing in you to ignite when you see feet or Chuck
yeah,
Taylors.
Yeah,
like,
and like, how did you get there?
Right, exactly.
You know?
like,
how did you end up at shoes?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, shoes and, like, not even just feet, but shoes
in
specifically.
Particular,
yeah.
Like, and for this guy, it's Chuck Taylors and Doc Martens.
Yeah.
So I've got numerous pairs of Chuck Taylors that he's bought me, and I've got numerous pairs of Doc Martens and boots that are similar to that he's bought me.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'll do is I'll put them on, and we'll do a show.
Yeah.
And it's not sexual for me. Like, I don't have to get naked or anything like
right.
that. It's just more of a verbal command kind of thing.
Okay.
But
like, what
I
kind
did,
of commands are you given?
Just kind of talking smack to him
yeah.
the whole time.
So you put yeah. on shoes that he bought, and then you just talk smack.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. honestly, it's a lot of, like, putting my feet in front of the camera
mm-hmm.
and showing the bottoms of my soles.
Yeah.
And the dirtier, the better, because he likes to lick them.
Oh, wow.
It's, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
is when you have people that are into this, is it one of those things where they have, like, a high power job where they have a lot in their life that they have to be in control of? So when it's
sometimes yeah
sexual, like a fetish like that, they want to hand that control over.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. A lot of it is that some of it's just guys who are not happy.
Yeah. Some of that
you know they
some
do
of
that
which damage
is,
and stuff like
yeah,
that.
They're
yeah,
just,
yeah,
they're
some
just
trauma.
Damaged. So
yeah.
they get enjoyment out of that. But a lot of these people hold high power jobs or mm-hmm. stressful positions, or they just have a lot on their plate and they're in control of all of these different things. So it feels good to them to let go of that and have somebody take over for them.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of the BDSM community is where one it's enjoyable to people to hand over that control, but then also that trust that you can
mm-hmm.
give that person
yeah.
and have them not
abuse it
or violate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot too. So when I started doing like the online stuff, I did a lot of camming, which is where I kind of, I guess that's where the modeling kind of branched off into the more sexual stuff. Because I started doing camming, which at the time I was married, and it took a lot for him to be okay with that.
Yeah.
And I respected that. Like, I can't expect anybody to be all right with that.
And then it got to a point where he wasn't just okay with it. Wasn't he in
he
a lot
involved.
Of videos?
Yeah. Like, he was getting involved.
I saw some videos where he was very involved. Yeah. Like, I'm like...
And it was more so like... and it wasn't anything I pushed on him, because at first it was
Well, there was some pushing. I saw some...
Literally pushing.
Yeah.
But it was something that I started off with. I said, hey, I wanted to take these kind of pictures. I want to be on these kind of sites. Are you okay with that? If you're not, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to develop boundaries and guidelines, let's do that.
Right.
I mean, I'm a very trusting and understanding, and I can compromise with anything.
Right.
So I said...
But you just need that communication
exactly.
open.
Exactly, yes.
That's something...
I put this out there, so don't tell me, you know.
Yeah. That's something that as... A guy that kind of lived a double life for the majority of my life, where you have that Mormon side and then you have the real you.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I was participating in Mormon activities, I would be this person. And then that's why, like, I've had a lot of things manifest where I don't want rules and I want that that wildness in my life. And I don't really care about societal norms as much because of how buttoned up part of my life was.
Yeah.
And so... But then that also manifests really poorly in relationships where you don't even know that you are living double lives.
Yeah.
So that communication is definitely key.
Yeah, and that was one thing that was super important to me. Like, I didn't want there to be a situation where I thought something was okay, and then it turns out it was not, you know, because that could be super detrimental. So it started off with, you know, just like the pictures and the sights, and he was cool with that. And that was years and years and years ago. And then it, like you said, it kind of fast-forwarded into not only was he okay with it, but he ended up being involved. And he came to me with that. And I was like, if you want to do that, that's okay.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Now, when you were doing videos with him and stuff like that, was it, did that make it even, can you make even more money? Because people would request boy-girl stuff a lot, I imagine.
Yeah, they do. But, I mean, think about it. You can get boy-girl stuff kind of anywhere.
Yeah.
So a lot of the people
that I
was
But if you can get, like, requests, like,
then
the live shows and stuff like
that. Yeah, I'd be able to facilitate.
Right.
I never did any videos with him or anything like that. I think we tried the camp thing, like, once or twice. And I was honestly not really feeling it.
Yeah. It just wasn't working for you.
It just wasn't working for me. I was like, this doesn't really feel right.
Yeah.
And
it's also taking a very intimate part of your life and putting it on display and turning it into work.
That too. And the thing about it for me was I had it wasn't a thin line. It was a very bold line between what was work and what was life.
Mm-hmm.
I made that very, very clear with how I did those things.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, this might blend together and it might not be comfortable for either him or myself. So it just didn't feel right to me. And I was like, you know.
Yeah, you put a stop to it.
We just put a stop to it.
And now when it comes to the things that men are into, like, are any of those things what, like, because I feel like anytime I've talked to somebody that is in that line of work or explored that, they're actually kind of vanilla when it comes to their personal preferences and what they're turned on by.
Right.
Like, just, like, straight romantic lovemaking.
Right.
I mean, lovemaking, but, like, like sex. But, like, but you want it to be a little, I mean, it can be a little rough and it can be a little bit passionate, but like
I'm
you said, you're
feet.
Not into the feet
I'm not
thing.
Into feet.
Right.
Yeah, like, honestly, almost 100% of the things that I would do for them does not do anything for me.
Is there anything that is a turn on for you that you've done?
For, quote, work?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Not really.
No. And that's how I was able to separate that work and life balance, so to speak. You know, if I started to do things that I was into with these people, that felt wrong to me.
Right.
You know, that almost felt like cheating.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that makes sense.
And I'm like, I don't feel comfortable with that.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to that aspect of it as well, when you start to feel uncomfortable, like, how would you explain that to them? Like, how would you have to, like, be like, hey, I can't do this?
It usually kind of go over those things right beforehand.
Yeah.
It's like a verbal contract.
Yeah.
It's so professional. But you kind of go over those things beforehand. You definitely want to establish boundaries, kind of like with getting into any relationship or friendship, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so funny to go from, okay, I'm into this, this, and this, and this, and then you just switch over into sexual mode.
Right.
Like, that switch has always been interesting.
And then
to
you're
me.
Able to sell it, too.
Yeah.
And that's probably the most important thing is to...
It's got to be believable.
Even if you're not into it, to make them believe that you're into it
is
the key.
It's got to be passable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it's not passable, then maybe that's just not your niche. Maybe that's not what you're good at.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think that, you know,
there's
when
a
it comes
thousand
to
the, different things people are into. Pick. You can, what's you're going to fit in one of them.
What would you say the strangest thing that you've had someone request from you?
Strange and gross.
Yeah.
So there's this guy in Michigan who is a diaper lover.
Okay.
Oh, dude, it's so gross. He's a diaper lover, and he likes poppers. Like, you know what poppers are, right?
Yeah.
They're fun, but he would put on the diaper, and he would like to go number two.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can swear on this.
Right? Okay. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what I can't say.
So he would shit his diaper.
He would shit his diaper, and he would want me to make him, like, lick it. And I'm like, this
you
is
really
so,
don't want to do that, but...
But you paid me some decent money, and you clearly want to do that, but... All right, here we go. So he would do that, and he would make... or I'd make him lick toilets right on his face, like, just put bitch right on his forehead.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the diaper thing is probably the worst. And the thing is some of these people know the difference between, you know, reality and this is just a game.
And the fantasy,
And some people don't. And he turned into one of those people.
That just couldn't.
That couldn't.
Shut it off.
Couldn't shut it off.
Wow.
Like, my phone would just blow up in the middle of the night.
He'd be like, I need this now.
Yeah, and I'm like, I need you to leave me the fuck alone, bro. Like, I'm at work or I'm with family.
Or it's the middle of the night and you're asleep.
Or it's the middle of the night. Yeah. Or point blank, I said, don't bother me, so don't bother me. You know? Like, but he ended up being one of those people. But a lot of the time, they know boundaries, but that was probably the weirdest thing.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
And it's pretty fucking gross.
That's really gross.
It's really, really gross.
But hey, if you like it, don't harass anybody, but if you like licking your own shit, lick your own shit.
Yeah, I guess that's what you're into. Congratulations, you found somebody who would put up with it.
That's
it's about finding that one person.
And that's it. And that's what this movie comes. Now we have a perfect segue into the movie is finding that one person.
Aww.
Now, do you believe in... Like, everybody has their soulmate or the one person or their one true love or any of that?
No, but I think that you can enjoy a lot of moments with people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if something doesn't work out, then on to the next.
Right,
go to that next person. Like,
and we're living in the golden age of on to the next person.
Oh, my God. Swipe, swipe, swipe.
Swipe, yeah. Do you do any of the dating apps? You're pretty recently single, right?
Like, yeah, recently single. I'm actually still actively trying to get divorced, but I do have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
So it's like an overlap thing. But, I'm trying to get away from that. It took way too long to realize it wasn't going to work.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things.
It's tough because it's one of those things where, you know, I was in a situation where I've been in plenty of situations where you ignore red flags and you kind of put the relationship above yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other person does that a lot of times, too, because you're like, well, we should try and work this out. But you know it's not going to.
Yeah.
And it's like dead on arrival.
Yeah. And like when he and I got together, I was 21. So I thought I knew what I wanted. And he's a bit older than I am, about 11 years, give or take. And through my 20s, I did a lot of, you know, I did a lot of partying in the beginning, like everybody does. And then I did some figuring out. And then as life went on, like I thought that's what I wanted. And then we got married in 2014. And shortly after that, I was like, I don't think this is going to work out. And then over the last 2 years, I sat him down and was like, I feel like I've done a lot of growing and I feel like I know what I want, but I don't see that from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like this is like you've stopped and you didn't stop in a good place.
Yeah.
And if that works for you, that's fine, but it doesn't work for me.
Now, is he still into the partying and stuff or?
I don't know. I had to block him on everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, but you sowed your wild oats during your 20s.
Yeah.
And then you were ready to grow up and you had new goals and he was still kind of in that same like arrested development.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty common.
He was stuck in a time period in a mental state where, in a not healthy way either. Mm-hmm. You know, he had,
well, it's a lot of people.
Some issues.
Yeah. Not wanting to deal with that, you know, that next phase of life where you have to kind of grow up and you have to, you know, where you start actually waking up early and I'll have two beers and go home or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And honestly, like something like that was all I really wanted. I'm like, could you, you know, realize that you do have to get up and that I'm also here to have a good time, so could you not get this wasted and make me play babysitter?
Yeah.
A lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, that I've definitely been the babysitter before and been babysat, but
yeah,
I would
mean,
say
it's
I'm
a give
more,
or take, but like, yeah. Honestly. Like,
but like when you can't have a good time because you know the person you're with is going to be a mess.
Exactly. And it was so many cycles of that, and other people started to notice it. And I'm like, this has become embarrassing. It's become exhausting. And I just don't see it getting any better.
Yeah. I have two young daughters and they, you know, overall, they've made some pretty good decisions. But one's 20 and the other one's 18. And the boys in their lives, I'm just like, be careful.
Yeah, don't get attached,
but
honey.
I mean, I can only tell them so much. Unfortunately, they have to go through that on their own.
Yeah.
Because that's how you learn your lessons. But I mean, it's one of those things where luckily they haven't gotten pregnant or married or anything like that. But it's one of those things where they learn these hard lessons and you secretly say to yourself, told you so. But
right.
Then you go,
like, oh,
honey, you'll
okay.
You'll find somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah. And mostly I just don't want them to tie their self-worth to a relationship or a boy or anything like that. I want them to
Be so
happy.
Young,
yeah.
You know, like at so young. And you said you had a 20-year-old. I mean, like I said, we got together when I was 21.
Yeah.
And then I tied myself to that person for so long.
For so long.
So long.
And then you feel like I'm missing all this stuff.
Yeah. And it's so funny because one of the things that like I realized towards the end of that that marriage was during that time we were together, he didn't want any kids.
Right.
He was like, I already have one.
Yeah.
I'm done. And I was like, I can respect that. Yeah. I don't want any either. And that was so long ago. And I'm like, I would like to do that maybe one day. I'd like to at least have that option.
Don't
shut it down for me.
Right.
You know, so that was one of the things that I looked at. I was like, I don't want that to be shut down for me.
That's something that I try to, you know, I've been dating for the past year. Mm-hmm. And I get that discussion out of the way pretty fast. Because I know someone doesn't want kids. Then I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Why jump into that? Like, if that's.
I'm not going to develop all these feelings and then have to be like, oh, but now, you know, we're at an impasse because I want kids and you don't.
Right, right. Like, if it's on the table for one and it's not the other, let's kind of get that out of the way.
Then there's no point.
Let's just avoid this.
Forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just got to be on the table.
Yeah, exactly. Just like earlier, check, check, check.
Yep.
If we match, then cool. If not.
And that's kind of, I mean, that's some of the themes in this movie. We watched Always Be My Maybe starring Ali Wong, and I think it's Randall Park is the other main character. And it's a cute little rom-com, and Ali Wong I thought was fantastic in it. And it just two childhood friends that fall in love with each other, but then kind of lose touch with each other, and then come back together.
That one who gets away.
Yeah.
So,
did you ever have like a childhood sweetheart like that?
No. I moved around too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a military brat, so I moved around a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't have that opportunity just to be like, oh, high school sweetheart.
Yeah. See, I had a girlfriend in high school, but there was a girl, like, we were just really good friends when I was, like, kindergarten, first grade.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of stayed in touch over the years. And then a few years ago, I got to visit her there's no romantic thing because we were little kids.
Yeah.
But just, like, knowing each other and, like, seeing each other grow up and, like, always kind of staying in touch. And, like, seeing her family now
Isn't
and her
wild?
Husband. It's great.
That's so crazy.
It's so great. And, like, just seeing she ended up in Arizona. And we, like, she's just, like, the sweetest girl. And then, you know, I have my story. And, like, we still have that connection to those early days of us just playing, you know.
Just being kids.
And, playing in her backyard.
The closest thing that I can say I have to that is it's in high school. When I moved around a lot, I went down to Tennessee, and I spent some time there. That's where I was when the Twin Towers fell, actually. So I spent some time there through middle school, and then I moved back to Ohio, spent some time up here in Ohio, graduated, and then moved back to Tennessee.
Okay.
So there was this guy that I was with, and then when my family moved back down there, me and my mom, we all reconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talked about the times in middle school and all that. And we dated in middle school, and then when we came to visit...
I love dating in middle school, too.
Yeah.
Like, we went out.
We went out.
Yeah.
He bought me my first rock CD. That was pretty cool.
What CD?
System of a Down, Toxicity.
Ah, yes.
That was my first, like...
That's
a pretty cool present,
right?
That's
a great present.
It's an awesome present, so I remember that.
I remember I bought a girl a Mariah Carey tape, and she's like, I don't even know who Mariah Carey is. I'm like, how the fuck do you not know who Mariah Carey is?
Everybody
it's 1992.
Knows.
That's all we hear.
It's all Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
And then
she listened to it. She's like, oh, I actually do know this. I just didn't know what her name was. So I'm like, cool.
You're welcome.
So.
But yeah, it's that's probably the closest thing I had. And yeah, we moved back down there and we all hung out, got together. We went to the pool hall. And then he ended up fucking my mom later. So.
What?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's some wild shit right there.
Dude, I didn't believe it. I was like, no, there's no way that could ever happen. I was like, that's some shit that you would hear in a movie. There's no way. I was like, I don't believe you, man. I don't believe you.
And so he told you?
He told me. He confessed. He confessed. It wasn't like...
How's your relationship with your mom? Is this why she's
actually,
cool with you getting nude?
I saw her that also, yeah. Actually.
She's like, I guess it's cool that you do nude modeling. I fucked your friend.
Yeah, I fucked your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Middle school.
Wild.
Yeah, and I was sitting in the back seat, like, we were getting ready to go to get breakfast or some shit. And we were all getting ready to leave, and he was in the front seat, I was in the back seat, and we were waiting on another friend to get in the car, and he was like, all right, dude, I got to tell you something. I was like...
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
I didn't expect... that's not a conversation
you guys still get
you
breakfast?
Want to hear. I don't remember. Probably
yeah.
not. Probably,
like blacked out. Yeah. You're like, what? I wouldn't even know what to do with that information.
I remember being just shook.
Yeah.
I was like, what? And I was just like, no, you didn't. And then he proved it. And I was like, no, man.
How did he prove it?
He said that she's allergic to latex. It's so weird.
He raw dogged your mom.
Dude, no. That's like the most like fucked up story I have in my life.
Yes,
that's
the most fucked up story that has been told on this podcast. And we've told some fucked up stories on this
awesome.
Podcast. So
awesome.
You
Where's
are
my gold sticker?
Yeah, you
I need one.
I'll you definitely get that now.
Awesome.
Okay.
But
all right,
yeah,
let's talk about this movie a little bit, I guess,
oh
but
my God.
That story tops everything. That was no mom fucking in this one. There's a sad part where the main character, Marcus's mom, dies and they were both close with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of leads to them losing their virginity to each other. Then you
vulnerable
know,
moments.
Yeah, vulnerable moments.
Yeah.
And, but not as vulnerable as...
I don't know what... I don't even know.
That's crazy.
I don't even know.
I don't know how I would handle that.
I think maybe it was a vulnerable moment for her, but I can't see why.
Yeah.
Like, nothing was... wrong? Maybe it was the Twin Tower thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe she just was, I'm sure you guys don't talk about it ever.
No.
Does she know that you know?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I should text her.
You should.
I'm going to text her right now. You're fucking kidding me?
Hey, Mom, do you know that I know this?
Yeah, I'll just call her and be like, hey, so you want to tell me about this?
We'll save that for another episode.
Yeah,
we'll get her in. We'll do like a confessions thing. So in this movie, what did you like about this movie overall?
It's so cute. I love rom-coms, and I'm a sucker for them.
And I feel like there hasn't been a good one in a
while.
There
really hasn't.
And I thought this one was really...
Yeah,
like,
and it takes me a minute to sit down and
let
watch
it be
things.
Corny and fun
cute.
And cute. And I'm...
Campy.
And have some good music in it, and, you know, the couples being... Like, having that on-screen chemistry is so... It's fun. And, you know, I'm a bit of a hopeless romantic, so when stuff like that happens... Like, I just had a moment at the gym the other day where... A girl was trying to figure out how to use the Smith machine
mm-hmm.
to do squats because there's not like a regular squat rack there. And she couldn't figure it out. And she was there for like 5 or 10 minutes. Finally, I went over. I'm like, do you need help with this? And she's like, yeah, I don't really know how this works. And so I showed her how it worked. And then as I was walking away, I'm like, just so you know, if you need help with anything else in this gym, don't ask me. I only know how to work this one thing. And so I'm like, oh, that's like a cute moment that could
it
be.
Was.
And now it wasn't anything like I didn't even like I got her name, but I'm not like trying to like get her number or anything like that. But it's like cute little
I
moments
like that.
Exchange. Like that.
Yeah. So small exchanges.
Yeah.
Like I'm a sucker for those moments.
Right.
Like I might talk shit to dudes on the internet, but like deep down, like I do have a soft spot for those things.
Yeah.
You know, like just.
Yeah. Those little meet cute moments.
Exactly.
Yeah,
where colors are bright and
mm-hmm.
there's hope. But
right.
I don't think there's enough of that in this world.
No, I agree. And I think...
So when a movie like this comes along, it's pretty refreshing.
It is. And it was a fun movie. I liked his band. I thought that was a fun little wrinkle in it. Ali Wong plays a chef, like a celebrity chef. And you see her talent in that. And they
She's
tied
so adorable.
It all good. And the one scene that I really want to talk about, though, is when they go to the fancy restaurant and Keanu Reeves is there, which is hilarious. And he's great in his little cameo. But... I don't know if you've ever been in like one of those food tasting things before
No.
where it's like, oh man, it's so spot on. And his reaction to everything being like, yeah, I'm still hungry. We just spent $3,000 on dinner, and I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I've been in that situation.
I've never experienced that, but I've only ever seen that in the movies.
Yeah, no, I literally went to this thing years ago. I was so mad. We went to this thing. It was like $60 a piece. I mean, it's not nearly what they were paying, but it was very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought us out all these different courses, and they're all so small. And just like the presentation was great. Like, and that's all it was. Like, it was all these influencers, like, yeah, like taking the pictures and putting it on Instagram. I'm like, but it doesn't taste that good.
I am hungry.
I'm hungry. And I was saving, like, I'm excited about this. And then I'm really let down. And then I'm like sitting there eating this. And right across the street is a Mr. Hero. I'm like, I just gonna go get a Mr. Hero.
For like $5.
$5 and be happy.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, this deconstructed birthday cake that you're fucking feeding me. Just, I don't even get it. So that scene I really, really enjoyed. And I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, spot on there. Yeah. I've only ever seen that kind of thing in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's kind of hard to fathom that even exists in the
it
real world.
It does absolutely exist. So and that's the thing, too, is all the
it's
people
just
like
that are rotating,
like, oh, I'm so excited by this. And like
everybody's just so
they're so phony
smug
about it.
And,
yeah. And then if you're the one that's like, then they're like, well, you just don't get it. You don't have the palate
exactly.
for it, blah, blah. Like, no, it's not food
like,
for me.
Like, it's cute, but that's literally it. Like, I could have seen this in a photograph and had the same reaction. I would have still been hungry.
Right, exactly. I'd have the same amount of nourishment.
I'd still be hungry.
It's not happening for me. Aww. All right, so we're going to wrap this one up because we got about a good 30 minutes in here.
Dynamite.
And I like the stories. The movie is cute. We'll check it out. It's funny. Thank
Ali
you so
Wong
much.
Is just so cute.
She's so cute.
She really is.
I definitely have a crush on her even
too.
More.
I think for Asian girls, too.
I don't even, as a white guy, I don't know if I'm allowed to admit that I have a thing for Asian girls. I think that's like too basic. It's like the most standard.
Is she
fetish.
A schoolgirl outfit when you see her?
No.
Okay, well then it's not that basic.
Yeah, I don't like the schoolgirl outfit thing because then I just feel like I got to pick them up from work or from school and I got to like.
Traffic.
Yeah, I don't do that.
No.
Okay. So, do you want to plug your Instagram or anything?
Sure. So I really only fuck around on Instagram. It's just @lightninglane, LAYNE.
All right. Well, I'll tag
Super
you when
simple.
We post this. And thank you so much for coming on. I had a blast.
Yeah,
and,
you too. This was awesome.
And we'll make sure you guys subscribe and like and share this podcast with your friends so that we can get more listeners. Thank you. Bye.
Netflix and Bill is produced by Bill Squire and edited by Joe Sweeney.
Oh! Does not compute! Does not compute!
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.